Good morning. Good morning, sir. Good morning, Mr. Basson. Good morning, Mr. Mokondo. Good morning, Mrs. Baker. Good morning, Ms. Kula. Good morning, sir. Members, we meet again come around to get a briefing from the department good morning. I've mentioned all the names and this model again.
Coming, what about coming for your raw water? You have your own process. For your bath water, you have your own process. Now all of these put together, in my view, I submit to the committee that we really must make time and go through a process of a workshop in preparing the press with this entire process that is maintained until a point where you have your consumer, if you like, from raw water to that step that person in your house that consumes that water, whether by way of, you know, cooking or bathing or irrigation in your yard. Now those are details. And that's what I really got to come to a conclusion of. Again, if members are agreed on this one, I think we should just schedule it in our own program. When we come back, we do go through this exercise of that workshop. Here is Africa Day, happy Africa Day. And love your African attire. I tried to go Indian or Chinese. It is also our last day as a committee in this term. And we'll come back in August. Obviously, when we go away, we are going to go into, of course, the election drive has started already. We're simply just going to go and join the framework one day. And obviously one of the major areas of concern, first of all, local government, is the area that we're in, that is now water and sanitation. As to how far have we gone, what progress or lack thereof that we can talk about, to a great extent, we might find ourselves which we've been called in all sorts of directions, these members of this committee, precisely because of the negative of work that we've been doing over the past 2 years, if not more. Now, going away the requirement of us to be part of us. And what is also very interesting, you know, some of us are even touted, you know, for any of these people. I don't know how it works. You know, I saw some names of members of parliament in the local government. But some parties are just quite differently. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is that we might, some of us, find ourselves back here, or some of us maybe, you know, back in, or rather, joining the local government. It will depend how the local parties work out. But you see some of those members of parliament also in the list for local government. For those of you who I want to, I do not want to waste much of further time that perhaps allow the department to take us through. The acting DDG, we did receive a few apologies. One apology that came through. Came through from, I'll just read them as they are in front of the Deputy Minister, who is attending a department function, handover in power, some media, MTN media, a classroom which is linked to some of the work that she's doing in the department. The Director General has given us the names of those when apologizing that are going to be with us here. And the list is long, I must say. Getting to mention all of the names, I'm sure, will take us a bit of time. The Minister is attending a cabinet meeting. Mr. Singh, or Advocate Singh, is also expected to be here, but he's attending some other function, training program, yes, adjust the entire program of course, that is doing. Okay, those are the few approaches that we have in the absence of other issues.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, thank you very much for the opportunity. My name is Nola Zengasa. I'm the DDG for Program Management Unit, and as the Chairperson has indicated, I'm the Section DG Leadership. I am here with the chefs and CEOs and CFOs of Autobots who are present, who are here to acknowledge, and I'm also here with fellow colleagues from headquarters. As the chairperson has indicated, the purpose of today is for us as a department to engage the portfolio committee on the process that we have followed in terms of setting the raw water tariffs and the bulk water tariffs. On my right hand side is the acting chief director who is responsible for institutional and economic regulation, and she will take us through the presentation. In essence, chairperson and honorable members, she will focus on the process that we followed regarding the raw water tariffs, and also focus on the process in terms of determining the bulk water tariffs. The chairperson has alluded to this happens at the most opportune time for us as a department. It happens at a time when we just table our budget book. It happens at a time when our minister has recently pronounced to the public what we will be doing in terms of handling acid mine drainage. And of course, our work happens within the context of the National Development Plan, where, amongst other things, there's reference made pertaining to the issues around the economic regulation, and secondly, water as a critical enabler in terms of social economic development. Without much ado, Chairperson, if I may ask my colleague Susan to take us to the presentation, and Chairperson, we would really welcome after the presentation and discussion a reflection on how we improve on the process going forward, especially the coming to some agreements around how we work with the portfolio committee throughout the whole process for setting the tariffs, and we are most open and willing to engage you on a workshop as a candidate. So Susan, over to you. Thank you.
Good morning, Portfolio Committee members, and the rest of the colleagues. I'm going to take us over the presentation of which the outline, as the DG has said, is just about the water tariff and the bulk tariff. The content I will try and cover the distribution, the background, and the processes that we followed to come to the final tariffs that we have in place on both the raw tariffs as well as the FAC. Now, in terms of the legislative background for the raw water charges, the National Water Act, states of 1956 up to section 60 of what the driving needs to do to follow the pricing model. So this gives rise to the pricing strategy that we are using. Now this pricing strategy was first developed in 1999, and the edition that we are using currently was approved in 2007. Now when we look at what the raw water charges are meant to cover, first we are looking at covering the funding requirements for the water resource management institutions. These are the institutions that are meant to ensure that the resource quality objectives are met. We are going to come into the rest of the activities in a little bit later. And we also need to ensure that there is funding for the development of the water wells as it is required. As we know, we've got large dams, we've got schemes that need to be built, funded, and maintained. And it also covers waste discharge systems, even though we have not necessarily fully implemented the waste discharge system, but it is provided for in the current strategy. And we are also covering the water research costs for all the research that is assisting us in improving the sector. Now, these charges are basically targeted to three categories of users, of which the first includes the domestic and industry. This is where the municipalities, the water board, and other big industries would be falling in, including the strategic users. And it covers also the cost to the irrigation sector for our agricultural goods and ensuring that we still maintain food security. And the stream flow reduction activities, which are mainly forestry-related costs. Now, the present strategy provides that there are caps that are put in place. We are unable to charge the full cost of water in certain areas. Now, when we look at domestic and industrial, we don't have any caps associated with the water resource management charge. The resource infrastructure charge, the increases are only limited to a PPI plus 10% until such time that we are able to reach the full cost thereof. But when we come to the agricultural sector, we've got caps where the water resource management charge is limited to 1.5 cents and adjusted by the PPI from the union baseline of 2007-2008. In terms of the resource infrastructure, we do have cash also related to the operations and maintenance, the depreciation, also using the baseline of 2007. Now, all these cash are meant to be in place until such time as we reach recovery. But now this will become a continuous challenge for as long as we are retaining the tax. That is why on the revised credit strategy we were proposing that we remove all the headings so that we may be able to focus on what is needed. For the first sector, we are charging 10 rand per hectare plus the PPI. Again, also being informed by the specific baseline. Now, the first sector has no resource infrastructure costs applicable to them, so therefore they are exempted for their particular cost component. Now, in terms of how the tariffs are set, we've got a budget planning process, which is the period when we calculate the activities. We calculate the cost of all the activities related to the service provision. Here we are using a zero-based budgeting approach, and we are also taking into consideration the economic indicators that are applicable at the time. So we are considering the consumer price index and the producer price index as and when it's relevant. Now, when we calculate the tariff, we do look at what is the demand out there. So the raw water tariffs are basically charged against the registered volumes. We still need to keep in touch with our demand levels because there are some sectors that are charged on a volumetric basis. We also have to take into consideration what is the yield or what is the availability of the water in each particular scheme. And we are also considering the assets that are related to the scheme. Now, when we talk about the consultation process on raw water, there is three levels of consultation at the regional level or at the catchment management level. It's where we consult the users in their numbers because we try to reach them as many as possible in their local areas. And that's when we present the first draft of the cost, at full cost, and take their concerns into consideration, which is going to be presented into a sector specific consultation. Now, the sector specific consultation is where the representatives of the user categories meet together. As we have shown earlier, we've got different categories, domestic and industrial, we've got agriculture, we've got irrigation, so those are considered a specific sector, and in each group we define that there is various representatives. So we call them on this meeting and go through the revision of the terms if we have done those, extended explanation of how we got to where we are. Now, with the National Chair, for the National Consultation, this is the last meeting that we engage on, where we try and give appropriate feedback on all the issues that were raised from both the regional and the sectoral specific consultation. And this is where the final proposal or the final rate of increase gets announced to the users to see if they would take it forward before we actually get it signed off. This slide represents the budgeting cycle in relation to the raw water process. Now, we are currently trying to rework this these timelines so that we can be able to have appropriate time to engage and make room for the economic regulations, because right now they are not fully provided for. But what we are looking at is that the budgeting process will start around just after April, where all the institutions will have to call the activities, put their templates together, and prepare for the consultation process. And normally the consultation process starts around July. Now we are trying to push it to happen a little bit earlier. And with those consultations, we are having our sector-specific consultations around August, and having our national consultation in September, so that we can be able to approve the water tariff just before the water board starts with their consultation process. Now, if I may be allowed, I need to explain also the water board tariff consultation process in this particular slide, even though it's not provided for. Water boards are required to consult their clients after we finalize the water tariff from October to November, whereafter they package their tariff proposals and submit to SAGA and National Treasury around December and get the comments from those institutions, and then they submit to the department by not later than the 25th of January for us to make analysis and for the minister to finalize the tariff and table in parliament. So this then means that the tariffs, as they are tabled by March, it allows the municipalities to continue with their cycle, where then they would take those into consideration in their budget, and then follow the same process of consultation and final approval by May for them to also be able to implement in July. So though we have a disjuncture in terms of the financial years in the raw water tariffing process and in the water tariff process, but the water board is aligned with the municipal cycle in that their financial year starts on the 1st of July and in June, while on the raw side, our tariff starts on the 1st of April and ends in March. Now, covering the costs that are, or how the cost of these tariffs are in relation to the infrastructure costs, we've got a depreciation component. This is based on the asset value that we determined in 2008. These assets are depreciated on a straight line method, meaning that it's the same amount each year over the lifetime of the asset. And these values are always adjusted according to the producer price index. This cost also includes what is termed return on assets. This is basically calculated as the 4% of the completed cost of that particular asset. If it is new, if it's an already existing asset, it's calculated as 4% of the depreciated replacement cost. This is also adjusted in terms of the producer price index, and it is not applicable to all to a 100% funded state assets. And this cost also includes the operations and maintenance part. These are direct and the indirect costs that are related to the operations, meaning that this is where we put these things like the staff costs, our ordinary working tools which is becoming easy, and it's generally based on a scheme by scheme basis, or calculated on a scheme by scheme basis. Now the water resource management charge is the second component of the budget. This one is after calculating all the operating costs associated with water resource management activities, we divide that cost with the registered volume. As you remember earlier, I did say that the water resource management charge is related to the registered volume, even though we are monitoring the demands. And then when it comes to the waste side, we will divide the resource management costs that are related to waste management divided by the waste loads of the water management area. Now looking at the water management functions or the catchment management functions, the Act as well as the primary strategy prescribes these 11 activities that need to be funded. So every time when we talk about the water resource management charge, we would be looking at covering what is required in terms of ensuring that the catchment management strategies are in place and they are applied as they are required, and there is resource-directed measures in terms of managing the water quality and so forth. Coming back to the consultation process, for the 16-17 charge, the consultation process took place from the 6th of July up to the 20th of August 2015. When the main purpose was to solicit buy-in from the stakeholders and give them feedback on the concerns that they raised previously. With the center specific, it was held on the 27th of August, and here we took a structural approach and we responded on the key issues that arose in the previous consultations. The national consultation, the main purpose thereof is to inform the users about what is the final recommended tariff prior to the approval, and this is where we generally get a sense of whether the users are in agreement or they are accepting the tariff as proposed. This happened on the 10th of September. This table shows the tariffs that were approved or how the tariffs were increased according to all the 9 catchment management areas. The increase was limited to 30%, and we are trying to show now the approved tariffs in terms of the rent and cents as well as moving from the 15-16 financial year to the approved 16-17 financial year. If we change the POPO, for example, for the domestic and industrial, the charge increased from 7.8 cents per cubic meter to 4.29 cents per cubic meter. That was the impact of the 13%. Now the irrigation, the same increase had applied from 2.44 cents per cubic meter to 2.5 cents per cubic meter. And with the irrigation, it was 1.31 cents, from 1.31 cents to 1.48 cents per cubic meter. So the same logic applied to all the other catchment management agencies. Now, with the water resource infrastructure charge, the spreadsheet relating to this one was quite big for us to be able to summarize like we did with the water resource management charge. So we just noted for your attention that the increases were limited to the PPI plus 10% as it is required by the pricing strategy, and ensure that the tariff increases were ranging from between 0% to 10%, because some schemes have been fully paid up, so those didn't see much increases, and those that were still not depreciated fully saw some increases. Regarding the the aviation charges. The depreciation was kept at 1.5 cubic meter plus the producer price index is required by the price strategy. The same with the operations and maintenance was limited to the 50% increase per annum. And the tariff increases in this area range between 0% to 50% because this was recommended by the price strategy. But noting that the 50% was a bit too high, this was reduced to 50% as well. Now, relating to the capital unit charge, this is basically the funding of the schemes that are over that was funded by loans. Here, the tariff increased by an average of 9.65%, so it was not affected necessarily by the inflation. Now, we had an issue with the asset mine drainage, and there was a resolution taken that the National Treasury would cover 67% of the cost of the asset mine drainage treatment and would pass on to the users only the 33% of the cost. Now, this has been applied as such, and the users have welcomed this because it was a big relief from having to cover the entire 100%. Now, government and the mining sector will split that funding in terms of the mining sector taking the 7% cost and the users covering the 7%. Now, coming to the water board. Here, the legislation, I've tried to unpack it as much as possible, taking from the Water Services Act, 1897, which starting from Section 58, talking about how the water boards are established, and now that they are undergoing a reform into regional utilities, the same section still applies to them. Now, what is of critical importance to us as the regulation unit is that the water board's primary activity is being informed by Section 29, and there are other activities that they undertake, which are also not they may be related to the primary activity, but it's seen as the secondary activity. Now, those would be, for example, contracting with the municipality to maintain their recirculation infrastructure. That would be seen as a secondary activity. Now, when costs are being determined, it's of critical importance that the tariffs which are informing the primary activity must not fund the activities under Section 30. So, but the other way around may apply. If the water board can find more business that will allow socialization of primary activity, I think that would be welcome and appreciated. Section 32 emphasizes that the water board should take to give priority to the primary activities, and Section 10 of the Water Services Act provides for the nuisance standards which are guiding how the service of the water boards and the municipalities needs to be calculated. We are also directly influenced by Section 2 of the Municipal Financial Management Act, which states that any national and provincial organ of state which supplies water to a municipality or a municipal entity for the purpose of providing a municipal service must prepare a proposal and submit the amendment of their pricing structure to the minister. Now, it further states that the water boards are required to consult the National Treasury and further and solicit written comments. And this is in terms of Section 23 that comes out of Section 32. Now, it's important to note as well that either the water service authorities by themselves or SALGA or both these institutions must make written submissions on the basis of the tariffs. So when there are instances that you don't have comments from the Water Service Authority, we do assume that FERC is representing all the water services authorities in that particular area. Then the tabling of the American structure in Parliament is a money of the executive authority, and this has to happen on or before the 15th of March every year. If this does not happen, then the change cannot be implemented in July. Now, in terms of the section that 2017, the Water Board have a duty to submit the tariff, the tariff adjustments according to the timelines that set out there. As we have said earlier, the Water Board has managed to consult from between October and November, and they are supposed to submit to Treasury in Salga by December, and they are supposed to submit to the minister not later than the 25th of January. So those are the specific timelines that they need to comply with. And this allows for extensive consultation that they need to embark on and need to have evidence available. So in this case, what about you? Normally you do give us your consultation schedules ahead of time. Every time the meeting is concerned, we also try to participate. We also have a tariff guidelines that was determined by the department, which gives guidance on how we're supposed to, calculate their tariffs. This is a high level of consideration of what the cost drivers to the Water Board would be and how to formulate the pro forma statements and financial models that it is prepared, and what must be included in the package that is submitted to the Minister for approval and achievement. Now, for the 1560 financial year, what we tried to do differently is that we, as the department, we went to the Water Board before they started their transition process, and we gave them a feedback on how we analyzed their previous tariffs or the tariff proposal. So we requested them to conduct a pre-tier consultation process with ourselves before they went out to their customers, giving us another opportunity to comment where possible. Now, they say that they complied with their consultation processes, that it was required, November, Saga, and so on, and then all the proposals were submitted on time. We did not get any request for extension this time around. The tariff proposals generally have a covering letter, which is a summary of what is the tariff that they are proposing. It covers the package, includes the presentations and the motivation that supports why it is that they require the particular increase. The notices of consultations is proof that they have consulted or they have invited their clients to the consultations. And they are also including the actual consultation report or the minutes or the attendance registers as a backup of the consultation process, and the comments if they were received. Otherwise, what is included is the national federal comments and the developers' comments together with the cost breakdown schedule and the projections or the assumptions that they are applying with the take when they calculate the charge. I'll try to explain a little bit on our role being new and internal component of the economic regulator. We do analyze the proposals and make recommendations to the minister. So we write a submission to state whether what is it in the proposal that we are in support of and what is it to keep an eye on in the future. Now we strive also to strike a balance between the availability of the institution, because we don't want to affect them negatively, but we are also mindful of the affordability issues that are around the country. And it needs to be noted that affordability is also a subjective matter, and it still requires a detailed analysis so that we can be able to benchmark or to compare the two moving forward. some of our activities highly related to dispute resolution processes that we've got in place, some instances to the water board and their customers, in some instances if the customers assure the municipalities to their customers and so forth. So those are keeping us busy with time. And we also do have processes of compliance monitoring in terms of the voluntary setting processes and ensuring that there is alignment with the guidelines in place. Now, when we reviewed the hearings, we also did consider what is the economic outlook in the country. We know that we got drought and it's affecting us negatively in a way that there is water shortages that are leading to escalating food prices and other challenges that we don't want to encounter. So we found ourselves for the first time having to consider the drought terms, and these were well presented in the proposals that we achieved. And so other things that we are taking into consideration is the inflation rate, the consumer price index, as it is being projected. We are also looking into issues of the instability of the rent influencing the import of chemicals for those institutions that are importing the chemicals. And this also plays a major role on the demand and supply price determination. We are also challenged by the constant increases that we have been seeing lately around the repo rate, which influences the repayment of all the loans that we are having anyway. And also considering that there are tight budgets and cost containment measures that we need to adhere to. So all these things are taken into consideration and we try not to leave anything out. Now the proposed tariff from all the water boards, we tried to calculate it both in rent and cents and the percentage increases and the customers that are being affected by each water board. OVEC had proposed around 22% increase for municipalities and 30% increase for the agricultural sector, and you rent cents are shown there for 834 and 749. Amatole proposed a 10% increase across the board. Ungeni had proposed an aggregated 11.1% increase. Rainwater had proposed 11.9% increase to all their traditional clients, as well as a 7% increase in Bushman Ridge. Chatuti proposed 2.5% for the municipality, that we supply only one municipality there. And Longwater had proposed 15% to all their municipalities, with the Berlin proposing 8.5% across all their municipalities as well. Now you will note that we've got the bracket that says minus 0.5% associated with only any value on the slide. This is what from economic regulation has recommended to be a reduction on its tariff. Now the proposal from Mahalis was 11.6% for Falco, and all the other schemes were increased at a differentiated rate, with Sylvain also having a differentiated increase across all their schemes. Now what we recommended for approval was that with Overbank we reduced their proposals from around 20% from around 22% to 19%, and agriculture we reduced it from 30% to 22%. And these were also based on the conditions that we explained a little bit earlier. We looked into their sustainability, their challenges that are there, and what is the demand was for them. With Amatola, the 10% increase supported only will reduce by 0.5%, which ultimately leads to a 10.7% and 11% for the municipal entity that is in their own operations. Rainwater, they retained their percentage increases and reduced the benefit to 8%. Mahalis and Sigmund Terrace were recommended to remain as they were proposed. Now, coming to a bit of an explanation to each of the water board terrors. With Amatola, it's a water board situated in the Eastern Cape and supplies generally small volumes of the low-end treated water. And the water board is currently not making a surplus in their financial statements, so we needed to trade carefully with them. They have a high capital infrastructure expense, which we could not necessarily link it to the tariff proposals, and it was hard for us to pick up what is the source of funding for those capital expenses that they mentioned. And the water board has submitted insufficient information that in relation to their proposal, and that was also raised as a concern by the National Treasury, so we found some consensus with the other parties there. So the tariff was recommended to be approved as is, and we are going to be engaging with them further into the details of our analysis. Relating to blue water, they are in the first stage. They are also supplying a bit of raw water and treated water. And they have a large treatment program as well that is expected to run over the next
year. Maybe we should avoid going forward. Mm-hmm. Going through all this is what this stuff is about and how. I think the issues have been raised already in the prior slide of what each of those water boards has over the time. If you can move forward.
I need to also explain to the portfolio commission members that we recommended that all the drought terms as proposed need to be approved, and this is going to be helping us as a country to cap usage when we call for it, because currently, you know, even when we are told that we need to reduce water, reduce irrigation, we don't feel that impact. And even though municipalities are already applying the drought terms, water boards, most of them were not applying it, so we felt there was a need to unify the processes there. We've got slide 40 that is talking to the comparative analysis or the tariff increases over the past 5 years. This is in terms of the rent reserves, and the blue bars are representing the 2013-14 financial year, moving each year to the 16-17 tariff increases. Now, you will notice that Overberg is, you know, the one with the highest tariff there, but that is generally the tariff, the rate that is given to the agricultural customers. That is what pushed it up. Right. Okay. The tariffs of all water boards are generally increased over the period, as you see in the table. The tariff increases range between 11% and 25%, with the Bedford Green, Umgi, Limahas, and Rand having the highest increases being amounting to 20% in altogether. Now, in the retail part of the village chain, water services, water service authorities charge approximately 200% of the water boards charge in general, which is, in our view, a little bit too high. You know, the markup of what the water board is giving them is quite high, and that is where we would find issues around the consumers complaining about the affordability of the tariff. So we need to also get into that alignment. Maybe while I'm there, I need to also explain that we have not started regulating the tariffs of municipalities as yet, because they have a constitutional empowerment to approve the tariffs by themselves. So whenever we get involved, it's normally on an advisory basis, not necessarily on formulating how to take their things forward. Yes, high tariffs generally lead to a high indebtedness of the municipalities who in turn own the water boards, and they're sitting with a high debtors book in the department as well because of this rippling effect. And the analysis that is done to attempt to balance the sustainability of entities and the affordability of the tariffs to minimize the social impact of the tariffs is something that we have started on, but we need to improve on, and it's going to take a little time before we get to this particular area, because until we find a way of unblocking the money flow from the end user into the system and remove the entire debt, it would be a challenge that continues to be
Is this given the rent owed to the municipality or owing to the municipality?
Municipalities are owed Jim. The water boards are all the debt to the water boards is also running into billions of rents. The same with the department. I think our department's debtors book is sitting around 6 billion, the Department of Water and Sanitation, with the water boards are
2.9 billion. And in where does it mainly located? Does that book?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Where is the part of that debt?
We don't have the figure, the changes in that area. They are more, very much in line with what we see with that contract rate, the performance report, which the chair will recall, for water trade and to give the breakdown according to the different water for the municipalities, but we can get that information to you.
Does this current policy, the provision on the 7th of April, the DG made a presentation, the total amount that was owed to the water board, to the department, it was 3.2 billion, of which 2.9 billion was from municipalities. And in that presentation, there was a breakdown of each and every municipality that owed to the department money. That was, they didn't give us the water boards, but 2.9 billion is in that report on the 7th of April, this report.
That's fine. Thanks for that, Mrs. Ranta and Mrs.
Mushimi.
Thanks for that brilliant submission. Obviously, there are a number of areas that have been touched. Some of them are new. They are not in any way out of the ordinary.
I was equally keen in you mentioned drought search. Typically, what would be other type of search out of the ordinary? I'm also very keen. There is structure. I understand that you are here having all of these water boards. There is structure called, and also what it is, what its status gets to be, your soul in the equation as you talk about the tariffs. And then, of course, also what is equally interesting is the AMD. And just going through one article here of Engineer News. So, listening to some of the innovations, especially related to the long-term solution in the West Rand, that is cool of the load area. Maintenance inquiries become very key, and I would have been equally very keen on the role that maintenance plays in the equation as you do your sums ultimately to talk about the given proposal in your tariff reception. Of course, the issue of that has partly been dealt with, which would have been the information represented by our members. That's what the department officials would have briefed us on. If you can comment or question or input on that, as soon as Mungunistan, Minister Faith, and Mr. Basson, is that all right?
Thank you, Chairperson, and for my greetings to the honorable members and to the officers. On the presentation, let me first start by taking the presentation and welcome you. On the presentation, there is an issue of tabling between this presentation of deterrence in March. My colleagues are saying, what might be a good challenge of not serving the time. So the second will be on the issue of objectivity of the information. Then we will use the notion of internet. Users from municipalities, whatever, it goes up and this department, the 2.0, whatever you are talking about. Is there any objectivity on the implicit one? And the other one is the issue of comments. We indicated it between November and January. There should be comments made by water boards or by Sangha. If I can give this notice, if I can give the comment, how do you deal with those comments? I think there, if I look at them, there are 9 water boards there. Out of 6, one of them did not accept. If we can make a comment on this one as well. Then this issue of the AMD, the person. 67% will be covered by the government and the mines, and 83% by users, and according to the presentation, it says that the users were welcome to that. I read an article which indicated that there are this group of people that is not welcome. Are there arguments that mines are responsible for polluting? Why do you give them that responsibility to pay for mines disaster? I will stop there, because if we are maybe I'm gonna give another chance of life finish everything. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief. Because just one or two issues. But firstly, if in this report you say there's a comment made on overwater that the all three sectors were not happy with the proposed tax, and our shares are extremely high. Should I replace agricultural and especially agricultural, going up to 1573, I think I'm questioning the impact this is going to have on the agricultural sector in particular, at this rate. And secondly, the fact that all these sectors have indicated their different discussion with the, what is the impact of that going to be? Are we going to have more protests had it been some kind of other consultation trying to resolve it, because obviously there must be an issue around it. And then regarding the tariff, there's quite a bit of it mentioned in here. I'm very concerned about that tariff. How has this been managed? How has this been implemented? Has it been across the board? Just the practical implementation of that. And if there was a... Yeah, under Altberg as well, the 2016 recommended tariff on page 39. Is the draft tariff has also been proposed to kick in and jam levels are below 40%. How is that being managed? Has any of that been implemented as yet? And have we seen a reputation of that in other parts of the country as well? Or not? Is it confined to that particular area? Which if I look at the other areas that are below such levels nationally, are we looking at imposing that kind of a tariff? Or is it being done? Is it a fair defensive? And the debt owed to the, it starts from consumer to municipality to water boards. It's a major ripple effect. But I think, actually there is no drop report that the minister mentioned last week that should have been published on Monday, I think it was. That which has waterways, kitchen, water use, and bowl burning. But it is obviously a problem from some kind of the bottom at municipal level, and I think that's where it all starts. Are there any consultation processes with Calca, with the municipalities that have been started to try and resolve that issue of burning at municipal level? Because unless we get that right at the bottom, we're never going to get it right at the top. So is there some kind of process that has started to see how we can assist which municipalities, which areas are most affected? And then the Water Research Institute, that chart, how is that being implemented? Is it nationally, every single area that's being charged? What is it for, and how is that determined? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Very closely, PA.
You have this couples where the woman is
more
powerful than the man.
And
usually, the man has to assume the title of the woman.
We've put one common dog, it's DA. So you're very close. Very close. Chairperson, we previously discussed this in the portfolio committee. My question is, have you considered in this year the quality of the water that the municipalities must clean? Because where there is more pollution than in other areas, the water becomes more expensive. The municipalities need to spend more money cleaning water. And we need to get to a point where if the department cannot protect our water resources, then the water should become cheaper for that municipality, because it should get onto the same level as everywhere in the country, like with electricity. More or less everybody is paying the same price for electricity, but in water there's different tariffs because it costs a certain price, it costs more money to clean that water. And it's the sole responsibility of the department to protect our water according to the Water Act. It's a constitutional mandate of the minister to protect our water resources and pollution privilege. And as we stand now, 82% of our rivers are already being seen as being polluted. So I want to know how you're going to discount that in the future to make it even for all municipalities. If you don't act on a municipality that is polluting a river and downstream somebody's got to clean it, then that municipality that's got to clean that polluted water should not be, or the community should not be disadvantaged by paying more because the department's not doing their work.
Any Pelletrick?
Sorry, Jim, it's just something that I'm trying to ask about. With regards to the irrigation water schemes, there have been reported schemes of areas like in the St. French River scheme where the farmers are charged a certain rate, obviously, for the water and the extraction, the portion that they can use. They're still being built for that, although because of the drought, the allowance has been reduced, so they're still being charged for the full amount. So they're charged for the full amount, but they're using less, and then there's a process apparently that they can claim back, or some claiming process that they can be followed. Now apparently they have submitted claims, but none of the refunds have been received, so how would that be managed? And is it possible for us to get a list of all the areas, the irrigation, the farming community, all the irrigation fees that are affected and that are being reduced, if possible, please?
In the same vein, Mr. Speaker, I was also in fact keen for the department you've got a real plan so far. I would imagine Shidivan operates actually Shidivan water or to be rent water but as a guidance. You also have areas like the mining areas, mainly your rainwater is involved there. And of course, with your domestic now, what I am talking about here is your unaccounted for water. How do we mitigate against that? It could be an issue of some of those states I made reference to, wherein they are either overcharged. Case in point, also, I'm talking about domestic billing, which is your road investment. And if Road Invest is doing a favor to the municipality of Manan, here is an 8 million man, you can use it whichever way you want. But I really have a sense that at Road Invest, there is serious underpinning there. I'm told at some point they had about 3 meters out of that entire campus, which is so big. So clearly, they are getting water free. Again, this is part of your uncovered for water. And how do we account for that? It's an accounted for, but you will account for it. And either you have the other question that we really have been talking about with the department has to do with the audit of our water source in the country. How much water do we have? What are we able to really talk about what we have and what we can account for and what we have that we also can not account for, all those variables being taken into account.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members, for the questions that have been raised. We will attempt to respond to all of them in this order, please. I will ask my colleagues to run into that and respond to many of the questions pertaining to the presentation. I will ask the acting CFO, or the CFO also of our overbed, to respond to questions pertaining to overbed. I will ask the CEO of Renrota, of Renrota Post, to please respond to specific questions posed to you, and then I will make a comment in the end. Before they do so, as we indicated at the last, I think, engagement session, Chairperson, I would be very happy to return. In recent times, O&M has become an issue for us as the minister and the DG indicated when we were last here. We could, when the calendar of the portfolio committee permits, come and present on work that we are doing in intervening in specific municipalities where we have identified a capacity condition. We could, for example, comment on work that we're doing in the FOCO. We could present a session on work we're doing in Makana. We could present on work we're doing in Amatol. But in essence, what we are finding is it's actually quite more complex than just saying the minister is responsible and must be held accountable. But in essence, municipalities also have a role to play. And our view, which is what the minister has tabled in her budget rules, is that we are looking through the interministerial trusting on service delivery and on various avenues that she could take, including, when necessary, invoking certain sections of 139, and secondly, also looking at the role that water boards have played to date, and then getting them to come more on board to assist with some of the O&M challenges. Let me stop there for now, Chairperson, and ask my colleagues to respond briefly if they don't mind the order in the chat I requested. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The question around the tabling in March and the calendar to date, we have done the best we could to table it by the 15th of March as we were required to by the legislation. And yes, the briefing is happening much later than what it was meant to be, but we have tabled on time. The comments that we have received from SARDA, those comments, I think the water boards have given the necessary attention to those comments and they've responded in our view the best way possible to the comments. We also looked into the analysis in terms of the affordability issues that are being raised. On interrogation, we are caught in a bit of a catch 22 if I paint this number. Normally, the comments will be linked to the availability of the equitable share to cover the cost. It does not necessarily relate to the tariffing approach or billing approach that municipalities also have, that they can recover their cost so that they can be able to pay back the water bill. So in that arena, we felt that we need to tread a little bit carefully so that we can do a bit of a deeper analysis. Because most of the comments were saying something like equitable share is only limited to an increase of 6%, and yet water bills are increasing in excess of the inflation rate. But again, I also mentioned in the presentation that the extra tariffs charged by the municipalities, most of them are over 100% higher than what the water board is charging. So there is a little bit of a disjunction that we need to go deep into. And the fact that we have not really gotten to interrogate the municipal tariff calculations puts us in a depth of the bit to say how we talk to the affordability in the truest sense of the word. On the issue of AMD, the little knowledge that I have is that the AMD is not caused by the current mines that are operating. The mining sector, they are doing the best they can to mitigate pollution by the church. AMD is a situation which was caused by the mines that have long closed down. they are not in the country anymore. So now this is the country's problem, not necessarily the currently operating mine's problem. So, but the mines have not neglected their responsibilities. That is why they were also keen to assist in this. And we felt it was certain that maybe the split would be appropriate. Now, being a country's problem, maybe the question is, should the 33% that the mines are handing out, or that is being left out for the users, maybe the question would be, should that be coming from the state, or which currently the state has got no funds, or how do we deal with that part? But my understanding was that it received much better than having to account for the 100% that was initially proposed to be passed on to the users. But I think our colleagues from Rainwater might be able to assist much better on that one. I'm going to leave the overhead question for the CEO, also for CE. The issues on the practice of the drought sharing. This is one process that currently is basically not standardized, but the one thing that is standard is that the drought has to be declared, and the tariffs or the drought tariffs will be kicking in from them. We will put in place appropriate mechanisms to ensure that this does not become running in a standard tariff, because this is meant to be only for those periods where the restrictions are actually announced. It has to be in line with the restrictions to keep usage, because it is a known fact that if you hike the price, that is the quickest way of getting the appropriate reductions that are needed. Now, relating this to the refunds for the farmers in Sunset, Honorable Member, I don't have the response to that currently. We would request that we give you the written response on that as soon as we get back to the office. Regarding the water research charge, this charge is informed by the Water Research Act. Through the pricing strategy, we are thus implementing it across all the regions. It is being levied as the raw water, as part of the raw water tariff component, and that is the only place where it is being paid for, because all other users are an add-on on top of the raw water cost, so it doesn't get to be billed twice or in multiple situations. The issue of the quality of water, this is a little bit tricky for me, because the resource quality objectives have recently been determined in some areas. There is a good movement in the department to try to now work the resource quality objectives have been determined, the starting point level have been determined, now we are moving into appropriate monitoring to ensure that these are kept. But now the challenge with this one is the implementation of the waste discharge charge system, which would have assisted in ensuring that the cost of purifying water is being subsidized by another cost. So with that lagging behind, it's going to take a little bit of time for us to implement it, and I will ask the portfolio committee to be able to ask, because as the department we are working on this process as well. In terms of the billing challenges with municipalities, there has been processes in the department to assist municipalities with their billing issues. We do have some guidelines of how the billing structure is supposed to be and how to make it easier for the user to understand. And we also were contemplating to include in the billing log system an issue or an indicator. minister that talks to the best bill at the municipal level. So those are still work in progress, but we do have the support tools in place, and unfortunately because of capacity issues, we are only limited to assisting municipalities on call or on request. We don't have a national rollout plan to roll out all these tools.
I'm really sure I love it. You decide not to let it be
serious. I think it's because, Chair, the actions that you mentioned that the CFO would respond to, I think it's around the issue that the CFO is not around. So I saw that there was nobody to respond to whatsoever. I'll be responding on Overbeck. I think
you're
responding on the ship. I'm responding at SNCE on Overbeck.
Yeah, you're qualifying
for it. Ms. Moshidi has indicated the issue of the equitable share, which I'm not going to talk more about because this is one of our issues that we had, especially with the municipalities in terms of the tariff. But the major also issues that have caused the increase, higher increase of over the water, there are three sectors that have a major contribution in terms of the increase. One was to close the imbalance of the gap of the increase that has been happening in the past years. If you look at between 2011 and 12 until last year, the increase that has been implemented has been the average of 10%. And technically last year there's been no increase, and in one of the slides there's been indicated that over the proposal to increase was declined because of insufficient information that was provided, and therefore there was no increase that has been implemented to the municipalities. It was about 0.5 increase that has been made in the last year. So to close that gap, we then had to cover the increase. And the second issue was to review the methodology of our tariffs, and so that we break down into the components of the capital and the variable charges. When we look at particular TWK, their basis levy is less than the average levy that is being recharged in overall. So by us breaking down those charges, it gives a big picture, a clear picture in terms of the charges that we do. I must indicate that from the comments that we received from National Treasury, they have actually commented over there in terms of reviewing the structure as well as supported the methodology that we have implemented. And the last issue was the increase of the drought tariff into our tariff. And the question is being asked whether have we implemented the drought tariff at this stage, and the answer will be yes, because the dam level started to drop below 40% and very low. And as from last month, we then implemented the drought tariff with our invoice into the municipalities. We have then indicated that the drought tariff will start kicking in. We have had a consultation with the municipality in terms of implementation the drought tariff, but also requesting them to put the water restrictions in terms of the so we've been having a consultation with the municipality. At this stage we have not received any of severe objections that may result to protest, because the objections that we have received from the municipalities, we have responded to them sufficiently. So I think that would be my report for
Thank you, Chen. I will limit my comments just to the issue of unaccounted for water in the notice. What I'm saying is our non-accounted for water is currently sitting at 3.9%, which I usually say that it, you need water to clean water as well. So breaking 3.8%. But breaking it down is you need water to clean water. So for operational use, which is cost of sales, sitting at around 2%, and there is internal use in terms of where our offices are, which is about 0.5% barrels. And our office really ranges between 1% and 1.5%. And this is what is used because we have over 3,500 kilometers of water network. So along the lines, you would use some of the water, but in the main we don't look at it as we have challenges, especially in the traditional rainwater area. But as soon as the water, of course, leaves and gets into the municipal system, that would be where you have a whole lot of issue, because at this stage the average is between 25 and over this percent in terms of where our losses are. It is an area of concern for us, because we're looking at it and say, for sustainability purposes, we need to ensure that you have municipalities that are able to collect the money and then pay us, so that the value chain that some of the members are talking about is not negatively affected. I am happy, however, that the department, though they are not where they are supposed to be, have said, for now, legislatively, municipalities can set their own rates, so they are not looking at, or they are starting to interrogate the municipalities' own rates, because unless that is done, we will have this problem sitting with us for a long time to come. Because like the rigorous nature that our tariffs are actually being looked at, it's important for the department to have that kind of oversight over the municipality, because what's happening is there is unaccounted for water, but what that does is because they set their own tariffs and they only have to report or be accountable either to this committee or the department, then they just rule the losses over in terms of harvest and and it's an area that needs to be addressed. So if there's one thing that we can ask and appeal is for the committee to actually empower the department to provide that oversight fully. Otherwise, we will be losing a lot of water, and we don't have a lot of water in the country for us to afford this. So what you say is, going forward, this would be one of those areas that I think we would need assistance from this particular committee, because it can go a long way. On the Mpumalanga side, cases like this, and in that, there's still an issue that needs to be sorted out. Of course, there are a lot of mining activities over there, and I think historically that has been explained quite well, but the assets have not been transferred for us. So what that means is both from the department and the municipalities, they're still sitting with the assets, so that problem is still localized on the other side. So as soon as the department finalizes that whole thing of the asset transfer, only then will we be able to give a full picture. But in terms of the traditional remote area, I don't think we have a problem, because in terms of where we sit in 3.8, it's way less than even the international conference standards. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If I could respond to the last question. The Honourable Member asked about irrigation and irrigation scheme. If you could please stay with us and have us send the children out here. Thank you so much. And then the second issue that was raised pertains to the audit of our water resources. As Chairperson, since I joined the department, I think it's the second time you're asking about this. And I do want to apologize for the time that it has taken for us to conclude this. If the chair will recall, when we met, I think it's a good hope, next to 10 years, the DG did give an indication of the fact that this initiative is actually taking much longer than we'd originally intended, and she appealed for a bit more time to table what I think you called at the time a water map and a proper assessment of our water resource. We have a team that she put together that's hard at work in this regard, but the time frames that we indicated initially last year are not ones that we could meet, and it looks more likely that we might be able to conclude this by the end of the year. The third issue.
A quick comment on that one. We also have been an issue for water. Our trade is 3.8%, and then of course it cascades down to 1.3, looking into distribution. Again, it becomes 2.8%. Well, I would have been keen on the categories of that 2.8%. But overall, it would have been an issue of 2.8 or 37% water loss in the country. 37% of what? And that question there will assist us getting to dealing with the inequities. Because here you need to be able to say, this is the amount of water that we have in the country, more or less, during this period of time, of course, you know, God permitting rains and so on and so forth. And also with the other sources of water. But now we seem to be almost putting in the dark, if you like, without really having a sense. I'm not questioning what currently you do. You have done a great amount of work. You have a fair sense of what is available as far as resources are concerned. But it would assist us a great more detail in getting more detail about those specific areas mentioned earlier on. If we were to have heard that clear sense of what do we have in the country so far as water source is concerned, holistically, so to speak.
No, thank you very much. That was a fine question to very taken. I don't want to belabor the point because I think it's been clear with us around why it is required this and the agency of it. I do recall in good hope that the DG did elaborate on some of the reasons for why we are getting to meet the target of a template we have set for ourselves. One, as we need to bring to the committee as precise as possible an indication of what we have, especially given the fact that we are a water-scarce country that also is using water, or is not managing its water as it could be. When the DG was last year, I think that she has indicated the time framework was possibly looking at now. It's the end of the year, and as I indicated, she was putting the action that is internally by the planning and information branch in the department. The last issue that we have not responded to directly is the issue raised by Honourable Member regarding the Lodrock assessment report. And she made mention of the announcement that the minister has made last year. As the Honourable Member issued last week, as the Honourable Member indicated, this is an assessment report that looks at the status of municipalities, and it focuses primarily on water losses, land revenue water, water use efficiency, and all that. We are looking at releasing this in due course. It is in the certification process. It is informed by the Blue Water report, but it is not a certification process report. What it needs to do is to serve as a measure of for municipalities to have a better indication of their particular status of water. So that is ready. We will take it here at the Portfolio Commission. But it is correct that the pronouncement was made. We are hard at work to ensure that we will release it as soon as possible. Thank you, Chairperson. As far as I'm aware, at least for the first round of questions, I think we've covered all the petitions of the week.
Any further questions? You still have to come back to us on the role of sound. Also, an issue of maintenance. This is one of the variables. Or rather, cost centers that talk to the equation of you when you do your sums. That maintenance comes rather very key. If you can also comment on that, Mr. Saul, Mr. Kunisan, that's from the state, Mr. McCon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next time, I will allow this, I know. Whatever time you
you have been saying about the tariff increase. You mentioned the issue of inflation, CPI. That what value are you using? Are you using a nominal value or are you using a real value? So, so long. Which one are you talking about? I'm talking about the inflation. And I'm also concerned, Chairperson, because they are claiming or they are informing us today of this tariff hike. That we want to inform them that they must also look at these inconsistencies. You see, of the service. You know, all the schemes that they've put in, there are inconsistencies, which I still believe that there will be inconsistencies in the subsidies that are given to these schemes. Yeah, I'm not a bit concerned. And also, I'm worried about this. You know, this is natural resource. It has got an economical boom. It can create jobs through agriculture, the small scale. When you increase the tariffs, it has got a negative impact on the economical development of the country. And last part, one is the issue of, you know, when you increase, I'm happy that you indicated the issue of you will quickly deal with the municipalities. We are going to look at how they do that. I'm happy to hear that. If they do it quickly, because they are, you say, 10% is a lot of money, a lot of effort taken aside. We just got a negative effect on the people. That's why we got a lot of protest. As a governing part of obviously, we got a problem. Because these people are poverty stricken. They don't have any. You see, and those who are trying to employ them, they get a burden of the increase and they end up not employing those people down there. So we are looking at, you must take them into consideration, those people are poor. And the last one, hey, the other year when we came in 2014, I forgot, it was another one was used as an overbank. I even made a joke, say, is the water in overbank sweeter than the water in Rheinbank? Because they are the one who are always skyrocketing each other. They are always on top. I don't know whether the quality of water is down to this situation. If you can put these pieces of interest, 10% in 2014, 10% last year, 10% this year, in 3 years, 30% increase. But if you go to inflation, I don't think the South Pole that much. You see, so in 10 years, just look in 10 years, how many percent will it be? You see, the water will be much more expensive than any other business. This is natural resource. I'm not talking about desalinated water. I'm talking about water from the mountain to the rain. So you must not look at 10% of others, but look at the people, the quality of the people there who are poor. Okay. That was my take into this.
Thank you. One of the things I overlooked earlier was statues. They've got the cheapest water in the country in Nigeria, 350 fortune. And I find that a bit strange considering the severity of the drought in that area. That doesn't seem to balance up the scarcity of water versus the actual cost of the water. So there's nothing to do with balance. And in this report that you've got on page 36, it says everything is healthy, the customers are healthy, happy. I would also be happy if you were paying such a little bit for such a scarce resource. I'm just wondering how we get to the tariff, considering the scarcity of the water. And if industries are only supplying, well, and considering that you're supplying industry, what industry is using this and how are they benefiting from being charged such a low rate for such a fierce resource? To me, that's a concern and the drought challenge in this area. Have they been implemented? Because I think that should have been long done already. Thanks, Chief.
Thanks, sir. I think the department might be going towards the Eskom route. I've seen a number of waterfalls. They do not have a strategy to share of course the country. Most of them, they are that stage share. It's very high. And with this increase, I think they will move from around, the department will move from around 2.9 million to close to around 3.5. Taking into consideration that SALGA has not supported most of the proposal on the tariff increase. And I can tell you, when Waterboard comes here and presents their annual report, we'll fight with them along with the delegation because of this issue. But again, I think the government is a public player in the water sector itself. I should imagine how the Department of Health has managed to make sure that the cost of medication in the country goes down as it is now. You have got chemicals that are very expensive to clean those. And I think the department needs to engage in that process and understand why chemicals are so, and what is it that can be done to make sure that the cost of chemicals whether that should be in the form of incentive shared, but also adding number of companies that are producing these chemicals into the state. I also think we should assist to make sure that we don't have monopoly of these few companies who are manufacturing these chemicals. The other issue is to I also read on the news that there are companies that want to assist on the AMG at no cost. I read on mining week. And I'm not so sure whether the department is found in that particular stage. These companies are saying they're going to build plants that will manufacture fertilizers out of the acid mine training that is there in those areas. And when I look at the presentation of the department, there are categories of cost which department is saying that I think it's 67% together with the mining company. And then 83% will come from the mine. And I think it was going to ease the money from the VAT system if department is able to participate in that process, so that we deal with this problem of acid mine drainage, the problem with the local. That's the issue that I wanted to raise. But again, the cost of, the first cost of overpayment, I think it's very high. And I think it also contributes to the increase that the forwarding to the government in relation to terms. I think something needs to be done so that in the water sector you don't go to the Eskom road, where Eskom is owed a lot of money by municipalities, by different stakeholders, because they do not have a cost recovery strategy to make sure that instead of
year after year increasing cost, which again would have a negative impact of you recovering the money that is owed to you. I think a balance needs to be struck on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to suggest that the terms increase acres for food basic work, since the constitution guarantees for basic access. And also, I want also to check because how did they look at the environment on where a different body will form? Give me an example on Mahali establishment in Northwest, which is more rural. And then the environment of unemployment is too hard. How did they come? Did they look at the environment of people, how people are living? And also, because it's one of the issues that caused the death of municipalities due to the environment of people who are living in those rural areas. Just want to check how did they look at it. Thank you, Chair.
With tariffs and also we talk about unaccounted for water. We must also talk about surplus. Now with technologies, both municipalities, especially on the billing and metering, with so much, you know, technology, we are supposed to be far now in really getting to address a number of these ills. Whether when we talk about the water that is unaccounted for, whether it's through leaks or through its nyonyoka in the water area, or with technologies that there's so much developed, such that some of these wastewater treatment plants, especially these packing plants, you know, one of those, I was exposed to a scenario wherein with Water Access Commission had tested that water. And they were confirming that that water can easily be used for irrigation. And your president, he went through Kilani the other day, where we saw, you know, hundreds of millions of them, you know, in water production, applying the electricity, but in Ghana and your department. That water that's treated until a point where it flows into the river stream. Yet in Limpopo, 82% of water is used for agriculture. Now, this is water that easily could have been used to invite your agriculture farmers to come in and be able to take further that water. As grey water utilized for irrigation. And all the time we talk about water that is so scarce in the country. But water is literally being wasted out there. And how do you balance it? And yet technology is there. If you can comment on that as well.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. Noted the questions that have been raised. I will ask my colleagues to respond in this order. I will start with Ms. Susan on my right hand side to respond to presentation focused questions, and then I will ask the CFO of Mr. Tuse to respond to the questions pertaining to Mr. Tuse's colleagues by the Honourable Member. And then I will ask a fellow colleague in Tali from Overbeck again to respond to issues pertaining to Overbeck. And then I will handle the remaining questions. Before I just talk for the Chairperson and Honourable Member, I think I want to request that yesterday we at the end of the meeting, if possible, we really do a follow up on what the profession indicated earlier on, that there really does seem to be a need for a workshop and engagement session. So that, you know, we we go through at length our services department and also the respective entities board and go through perhaps in a full day session some of the issues that have been raised today. But let me hand over to Susan and then it should be colleague Susan and then over back and then myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. The first I don't have any questions that were raised by Honorable Mugodi. I think those were comments that we appreciate and we are going to take them forward. I think I would try and respond on how the department plays or the talking to the strategies that the water board has how the department participates in this area. I think in my view the water board do have policies in place or strategies of covering their costs. But then on the water services act we also have a small section section 4 which outlines the process that if the water board were to implement restrictions as part of their cost recovery, they need to inform the minister and follow a certain process. Now, understanding that water is a basic right, restrictions on water are not a favorable phenomenon, and half the time we would find ourselves having to protect the minister from the firing line and we say water board should not restrict, and yet then we have the most powerful tool that they can have as part of the steps of their cost recovery. Though there is a specific outline that they can restrict by 20% at a time and not go below the free basic water portion, the fact still remains municipalities have got some industries and some commercial businesses that will not necessarily fall into the free basic water restrictions. And when you look at the flow of water as well, you may find that the people who are on the high side, how to call the technicalities now, as the AES point of connection would be the ones that get the water, and everybody else downstream end up with the water. So that does not necessarily yield the intended result. So from the department, we are trying to get into the space of assisting water boards where we can, in trying to get the disparities to pay for the accounts. Now, trying to respond to the alignment of the free basic water. The free basic water is the cost structure is in the calculated in the equitable share. Water boards are not subsidized herein, and the cost of water purification from water boards to the municipality is considered in the equitable share to cater for the free basic water. So National Treasury has said in a number of times in our engagement that if there is a way, if we can find a way of getting some reductions or subsidies on the level of water board or on the rising strategy, even they have consistently said this is a component that is covered in the equitable share and we should not attempt to try and address it in earlier years because we will not be able to guarantee the certain down of the subsidy that is being provided. So it's better accounted for in a particular area.
Honorable colleague from Shatusa, and the Chairperson, with your induction, please, after Overbeck, could I ask a few of the panel to respond on the other issues that you have raised? And then the MDP Gogo would reflect on Shao, I think, to respond to some of the issues that were raised in that order. Thank you.
Thank you, Niji. Honorable Chair, honorable members.
Yes, it's true that our tariff increase was low, and also our tariff charge is still the cheapest. This is based in terms of our income cost, meaning when we did our analysis in terms of the cost, they were ranging in terms of around about 7%. That's why our increase was only 6.5%. And also whereby we are absorbing the 0.5% increase. And our tariff is game-based, meaning each game is providing whether it's municipalities or the industries. And our industry is based on charts and the restrictions that have been imposed or imposed. And we're also surprised to see that we have imposed the draft tariff which we have done based on the business plan and we said we go to 6.5. So we are saying if they are not being able to abide to the restrictions, then we have no choice just to impose the what we have mentioned, which was 8%. And in terms of our operation area, it's diverse, both rural and also urban. And we not supply the districts, but we supply the local municipalities, which is not just a, which is like a surrounding area. So, and then the just pay the social services, then sell it to the districts, which serves the rural communities. That's why now the district wants to come and buy water direct from us, because they find a very expensive price, which is like triple the price that we are selling to the municipalities. And they find it still a challenge, so they want to buy it direct. But also the other thing that I've mentioned the Trump one, that yes, we have imposed the Trump one, and I think I've covered most of them. But
Chairperson, may we have permission if I can add to what the Chief of the said. I think it is true, honorable data, that our area has serious water challenges, and the drought tariff is one of the measures really that we are using to try and resolve those challenges. We do have water restrictions in place, and if you look at the way our drought tariff is structured, it only kicks in when people exceed the restricted amounts. And the way we are enforcing the restrictions, we don't see us getting to that level, because as we can see that we don't leave it to the municipality or other customers to actually enforce the restrictions. We actually enforce the restrictions ourselves. We only give people their allocated amount in a period of a week, so they will never exceed their restricted amounts. And over and above the restrictions, we are also looking at augmenting the level of water into the area. So we don't look at the drought tariff as a silver bullet to solve all the problems, but there are other measures that we're putting in place to make sure that we have water on a sustainable basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I really appreciate the comment by the members in terms of the expensive water of Overbeck. Just to indicate that Overbeck is serving a unique community in terms of it's serving non-urban areas in most cities that it's covering. And it's covering a wide, vast area of about 6,020 square kilometers of an estimated 1,600 kilometers of the pipeline. And in that makes the water to be very expensive in terms of purified delivering clean water. And in our view, that's why we are encouraging that all of the water users need to pay the equitable tariff to ensure the sustainability of the scheme.
Thank you. Chair Donald and the DG, I understood the question to mean if indeed water is so scarce, why would we let to take water cleaner than the one is in here?
God's praise to deliver us when we could get people to avail themselves to the opportunities of using it for other purposes. In our case, we have a friend of a farmer around here who have availed themselves to that opportunity. They have organized themselves and consulted at an department in the province. Currently, the debate that is raging between us and those commercials, how much of the water should still go into the rivers, because we still have to make sure we do not endanger the aquatic species as we are using these resources. Apparently, they can advance and use it from the specialist in the area. We do not have to cause an imbalance in the ecosystem. And this we have to do it in such a way that we make sure that we share these scarce resources, both for human consumption, agricultural and aquatic species that is living in the river. First.
Thank you, sir. You see,
reports of that nature would have to be monitored quite closely. Sort of saying we'll have to be tested to understand that it would be prudent on us as a committee here that we receive such periodical reports, so it would be exercising our oversight role. But we would be very keen to see the end result of that exercise. Timelines are quite important. Part of our monitoring exercise, so that we are able at the end of the day to say, these are the results that we have seen out of our own work as a committee. And then we get to say to the department, this is another approach we might be to take in saving water. Granted, the ecosystems have to be protected and all of those, but at the same time, there's life, you and me, that must be lived. Now that's three issues that I thought I might wish just to interject on. If you can assist us with those security of course.
Chairperson, before my colleague speaks, we would definitely appreciate the opportunity to update you on this, especially because the matter that you raised is underscored in our contribution to the 9-point plan. As the chairperson is aware, water is identified as a cross-cutting enabler in realizing the 9 key levers for driving economic change, and it does reflect on, amongst others, the role that we can play or strategically play going forward in terms of the transportation in the grey water. If I could ask my colleague MD Dikego to appreciate, and then I'll make a comment.
Yes, thanks. My response is only based on your question about SAL. As the name dictates, SAL is an association that was established to coordinate, advocate, lobby on behalf of all the water bodies in the country. Maybe let me say it operates similarly like SAL has operated in municipalities in coordinating SAL. SAL would have been a very useful vehicle from the time when we had almost 24 water boards by then in the country. But currently, Chair, I must state that it's having a slightest challenge like the one we had in 2006 when it operated without the CEO for quite a time. Our CEO, whose contract expired as early as 2012, we have been not happy. SAL has not been functioning as it used to be. And it was assisted by then by the then chair of the portfolio, I think, Ms. Sophie, when she intervened and helped us to deal with this. I would gladly propose, Chair, that I've noticed that I've got about four of our ESCO colleagues that I will quickly, now that we have raised this, come together and raise something. identify the challenges, I would gladly like to have maybe a session with you just to quickly update us what are the challenges and how we can assist to resolve it. That's because currently sending the lead of the challenge. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the only issue that has not been addressed pertains to our role as a transformative agent. When the Minister spoke on the budget vote, when she tabled her budget vote, she spoke about how a key issue for her and the department going forward is the extent to which not only do we use water as an economic or as an enabler for driving economic development, but she spoke about the responsibility that we have, that we're taking upon ourselves to transform the sector. And this speaks to the very important issues that were raised earlier on about by the honourable member pertaining to the, you know, the not only the challenges that we face currently regarding job creation and how parents must not just be looked at simply as parents, but be looked at in terms of the impacts that they have, especially in the lives of the poor. But she also has spoken about how going forward she would like to see a department working with entities and stakeholders, creating an environment where especially the previously disadvantaged are not simply beneficiaries in terms of being term owners, but actually a fundamental or play fundamental role in terms of planning for the type of communities that they live in, participating in the construction of resources, and being active agents in terms of monitoring the quality and so on of that. So those comments are not taken with appreciation. It is what we are trying to do going forward. We do have a unit that's dedicated to transformation. In fact, in some ways, that's why the Deputy Minister is not with us today, but what the matching order the Minister is giving us is to say that she wants a society where especially disadvantaged are not beneficiaries in terms of being club owners or club openers, but are actually meaningfully participating in water resource development and management thereof. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Obviously, the session remains work in progress. There are two levels. One, I think that we are agreed that the workshop is important, and we have said that we get a sense of a cycle that is to be understood fully as we engage with the department and the entities. We get to understand exactly where to get in the zooming in areas, both for valves and also for raw water. The issue about municipalities remains a thorn in the flesh. And there are the points where you are to talk about the tail end ramifications that relates to them being able at the end to build and to supply the issues raised by the week about whether or not there are any implications that work against the constitutional rights for those, especially the indigenous, having to have access to water. On one hand, you are dealing with those kinds of issues. On the other hand, you also are to deal with an ongoing exercise on our part as we play our outside role. The two, of course, are not mutually exclusive from each other. They actually do support each other, but enhance the work that we are expected to do as committee of partners. And of course, also the issues about
the tariff, proposed tariffs that Mr. Ngozi makes a point, you know, where the water overheads are the sisters of water compared to water which is the area that he mostly this area where he charges more. What's that? What again, Mr. Ngozi? Yes, overhead that charges more. Chatsu is the one that charges further. Whereas Chatsu's water or Lopeg water is the sweetest water that you can think of in the country. That is the price is so much out there skyrocketing compared to water that you have supplied in Chatsu's. Now, these are the differences that you are dealing with. The issue that some of the members within your stable, within your team, have not paid for having been here all the way from wherever they are or it came from. But yes, members, we have tackled a great deal of what is expected of us. As I said, it's not in progress. It's a workshop. It is us engaging from time to time. And of course also the timing becomes very critical. The timing of the department is coming for us. Because one of the other issues that we have raised, Mr. Basson, is that timing has to be such that we make the meaningful input. The point that I think it was Mrs. Manula again, if I'm not mistaken, was saying, in ourselves, as the members of parliament, we reserve the right of having to get into that public hearing space and be able to get to hear what the communities out there have to say about these proposals. It may be our right as members of parliament. As again mentioned again for the third time, it was in progress. And then that come next year, pray that all of us shall still be around here. So we shall be engaged more robustly with the partners and the same issues that we're doing. Mr. Abraham?
May I just raise one concern, which I think is also mentioned? On the acid mine drainage, we requested, we had discussion about this in the portfolio committee with the deputy minister. When the first announcement was made on the 10 billion rand investment, and we got the undertaking, the portfolio committee got the undertaking from the deputy minister, that before they sign any agreement, the portfolio committee will engage with the portfolio committee on the asset mine drainage, because we had a concern that there's new technology and we would like to have a discussion on that. This did not happen. That undertaking with the deputy minister says she will undertake to discuss with the minister and come back to the portfolio committee and make a presentation. Did not happen. And for that, that's serious concern for me that there's no engagement on this. We, as a portfolio committee, we hear this in the news. It's not discussed with us. And I think if you want to take the portfolio committee on board, that's the right way to go. Inform us. We don't want to detect the minister and the party what to do. But we also don't want to be catch with our pants on our knees and reading about these issues outside, and when the news media contact us and say we're not aware about it. Thank you, Chief.
I think what Mr. Ngoi was equally raising a very important point about the article on mining industry. I read the same, I guess, these are the same articles from engineering news.
I think the point that we really have to state that as a committee of parliament, we reserve calling on anyone that parliament presents before us. Our interest might always be about saving money that the state can always use elsewhere. If we have such people out there in practice, this is the kind of partnership would really encourage. So we shall have to, you know, look at our program and schedule as to who else can come besides the person or the group that is the engineering is. So these are the kind of things that we are certainly going to be looking into. It's a deal of what, 12 billion rand that the state might use on this long term solution for the AMG. If there are people out there who have some money, who can save us that amount of money, we can also pay value in the form of those fertilizers. Why not? Now, I think there's a question. Mrs. Spencer?
Last night at Apple. If you go to the Water Resource Commission, the DVD, which one? One of those. Okay, no one. When you go to the Water Resource Credit that I read, you said that there were many things in such insurance, only you charged twice. And I know that there's one particular municipality in Mbeki in the Mpumalanga that charged all their consumers, some of them 5 cents per kiloliter, some of them 50 cents per kiloliter, which amounted to an amount of 24, almost 25 million rand, which they now had to refund to consumers. I'm just wondering here, there aren't other municipalities in the country that are affected. Perhaps we need to have a look at that and see. Is it being rolled out properly? Are the end consumers being bought unnecessarily? And with regards to the unbilled or the unaccounted for water, I know there was also an issue raised with regards to water boards within municipalities, the bulk meters from water boards to municipalities. Do all water boards have those bulk meters in place for all the municipalities that they supply? I think there is also an area where unaccounted or where there's a set tariff being much, but we're not basing it on the amount of water, the volume of water. Perhaps that's also another area that we need to look at to bring in.
Chair, if I may, if that's all right, for the last few comments that have been made, if we could provide a written response with your permission. We also hope to see you for all questions. We would I want to table an apology for the commitment made regarding the acid mine drainage. But perhaps bear in mind that we have received your schedule for the second term or period after August. Perhaps this could be one of the first issues that we came to correct the issues in it. We also note the concerns raised pertaining to AMD and its cost, and the fact that there could be institutions there that could provide that for free. I know the honourable member won't issue with me if I say this. I'm always worried of anything free, but we will engage the honourable member afterwards. Just to be sure that we really leave no stone unturned in terms of ensuring that we attend or we adopt the most efficient way of handling AMD. But perhaps with your permission, this could be one of the first issues that we table upon return, if that's all right. And the last comment I would like to make is to table our appreciation for the opportunity to present. Thank my fellow colleagues who have been here. I trust that everybody who could give an answer
was given an opportunity to do so. Thank you very much.
It's been our last session until we come back on the 16th of August. We wish good luck in the electioneering work. Trusting that we'll come back in one piece. And we hope and trust that whatever happens here in our parliament is not going to spill over into our colleges out there. The people of South Africa, they know who their leaders are, and they want to vote for them. Ours in this committee remains that of improving the lives of our people for the better. It shall continue. That's what we are committed to as this committee. We see no political party here. We see contributions. We hear contributions. At the end, that must always improve our people's lives, ordinary people's lives for the better. And I think that should be it, and then we meet in the tent, and all that.
Yeah, that is your